So we are still here. Emily Wright, however, you may have noticed by the slightly different tone of voice, is no longer here, but she will be back. She has left us for a brief moment. Well, we hope it's brief. It's a few months, but she will be back. But in the meantime, I'm sorry, dear listener, but you will have to put up with me. But to make that transition much easier, our very favourite We're Still Here guest is joining me today, the wonderful Emma Rosser. Hey, Emma, how are you doing?
Hello, Sam. Yes, we are still here. I'm well.
We are surviving. We are back in lockdown, not quite as stringent lockdown as the one before, but again, lockdown, but we are surviving and we are still here. And we still are delivering lots of wonderful and very interesting news for you, led this week, of course, by some very insightful data actually around PD, which we published just as confirmation from government came out on a ban on, or some space standards put around PD as well. So Emma, I wonder if you could talk us through your splash this week and a little bit about the ban as well.
Yeah, so back onto planning again. Planning seems to be dominating most weeks, but this was a big one, I think, as well. So this week I've been crunching the numbers and digging through the new PD, so permitted development applications from developers seeking change of use. So just as a bit of background, so that, I've talked about it quite a few times before, many times. This has been trailed for years, but in March, Robert Jenrick confirmed that all vacant commercial property would be able to be demolished and rebuilt without a planning application. So that's going through PD. And he laid out the legislation to Parliament the day before summer. We've had the kind of backlash from campaigners, Labour, Tory backbenchers, but it all went through at the end of September. And this is all part of the government's pledge to boost housing numbers, speed of housing delivery, the build agenda. But in the month following this landmark reform, the number of new homes proposed via PD actually fell by a third. So I've been going through my spreadsheets and many hours spent in Excel. There were 926 new homes and just 30 applications in October. And to me, that came as a surprise. We know that there's a huge amount of stress in commercial property. There's a huge demand for change of use. But looking at these numbers, around half of those homes came from just three developers and half of those homes in just five schemes. So we've got a couple of quite large schemes going up to 200 homes, but otherwise very, very little coming through. So I've been trying to wrap my head around why has this happened with so much commercial property in dire straits, especially some smaller retail sites. You know, we would have expected a bigger uptake following such sweeping measures as well. And actually going through this, the majority of the sites were actually former offices. There's one hotel in there, but there's no retail. So I was talking to people in the industry this week, trying to work out what the numbers really tell us. And actually Alex Harrington Griffin at Trusted Land said that, in fact, he's not surprised at all. So they're regularly speaking to smaller and mid-sized developers. And actually, they did a survey with Landtech last month asking those SMEs, and they found that 75% would expect to increase development via PD and anecdotally have been positive about the changes and expecting to be developing more. So why aren't they? So Alex said right now they're prevented by vendor expectations and they're really kind of holding off and waiting for pricing corrections, which will probably happen next year. So many occupants and landlords have been supported by government grants, and they're also hearing the news of kind of record house sales and the housing market kind of going from strength to strength. So both of these are pushing up pricing expectations. But both of these are also expected to drop off next year. So Alex says, the appetite is definitely there. The market forces are holding it back. It's all basically been kicked down the road, is what he's saying. But as I was working kind of through all this data and talking to people, Robert Jenrick did make another big announcement. So he set a date for the new ban on micro homes with the introduction of space standards coming in from April 6th. And so that was one that I was on the podcast recently talking about, that all new homes will have to meet these space standards, which is interesting because it's something that campaigners have been fighting for across the board for years. But it's also standards that homes through normal planning application aren't held to. So that's quite interesting. So in the midst of all of this, I was, you know, talking to people, and so many are now expecting that the industry might well take advantage. You've got this window of time for any of those who developers who are seeking to maybe develop smaller homes that don't meet those requirements or already have plans in place to do that. The next 6 months, we could see an increase. So it will be really interesting to keep an eye on those figures and see how that all changes. And regardless of the size of the homes anyway, every person that I've spoken to is in agreement that this is all going to lead to, you know, the change in the legislation, and that expanding it to all commercial property that is vacant. Whilst we're not seeing the numbers now, we will see that at some point. So Hugh Ellis said from the TCPA, he said
your
something.
Favorite.
I know. Love a chat with you. I'm gonna have to get him on the podcast one day, aren't I?
Absolutely.
He said something enormous has happened. It's just not visible to the public yet. So then your question is, when is it going to happen? So we'll be keeping an eye on all of that.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And that comment you just made about how people might take advantage between now and April next year. And I know we're not meant to have opinions as journalists, but that frightens me a little bit in the reputation of this industry, that if there are suddenly a section of the industry that takes advantage and throws out as many tiny little flats as they can between now and April, that does not do good things for the reputation of the wider industry, which I know Alex from Trusted Land will talk about quite a lot, that not all PD developers are bad PD developers.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And I was about to say that's something that Alex, when I was talking to him, he was saying, you know, they are pro PD. They are pro PD for SME developers. This can help them to develop good homes. They can be smaller as well. And he did say that, and he said, you know, they can be smaller and that can suit a first time buyer or a different sort of audience. However, Alex did also say, when the news, which was a surprise for the space standards, when that came out, his reaction was, this is great, and we should hope to see more of this. It is worrying that, I guess, you supposedly opened the floodgates, was, what people were talking about with the expansion to all vacant commercial property, but you didn't put the measures in place at the same time. But I mean, if last month's anything to go by, we didn't have the floodgates weren't opened. But you've got 6 months still, and so what could happen over the next 6 months, and coming from who as well? What different developers and how might those business models change? I think there's going to be a lot to happen and keep an eye on, to be honest.
It's going to be fascinating, and very luckily we have you, Emma, who I know will be keeping a very close eye. But really interesting stuff, and particularly also the sort of the being priced out at the moment, and maybe there's a hope that if there is a higher value put on assets, that the more professional developers will be able to have those conversations rather than those who are trying to make a quick buck.
Yeah, although, Alex is saying that people are waiting for the prices to drop. And I think if you've got vendors at the moment who are, they're expecting high values and they're not there, and that definitely would put, you'd expect that you get those more professional developers be able to meet those high values. But at some point you'll have forced sellers. And when those forced sellers, if they've got lenders that they need to repay, when you've got that sort of dynamic and you're kind of forced to sell, will they be making the right decisions? They'll just be getting kind of a check at the end of it. I don't know.
Let's hope the lenders are kind to their borrowers until after April.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's not all that has been happening in the world of Resi this week, is it? You've also been breaking some stories about some returners And we've seen over last week as well with the Wellcome Trust taking over urban and civic, some really interesting stuff going on in the world of strategic land.
Yes. So strategic land, I wasn't expecting that this would be so prominent, to be honest, at this point in the market and in lockdown as well, and in the kind of recession. But it seems to be the kind of hot asset class potentially, as actually Nigel Hugel was saying, describing it as an asset class in his interview this week with our deputy editor Tim Burke. So the story that I was looking at this week was Midlands property tycoon Tony Gallagher. Always fun to write about Tony. He has returned to strategic land. So Tony Gallagher set up Gallagher Estates and Gallagher Developments in 1956, but he split the business in 2017 and sold the strategic land business Gallagher Estates to L&Q, so effectively kind of dropping resi and focusing on commercial and mainly retail parks. But now Tony is back and he is planning around 2,000 homes in Bedfordshire. So there's three sites there around the RAF Cardington former airfield. And as retail parks are potentially seeming kind of less lucrative right now, it does seem that there's a huge emphasis on housing development and a huge demand for housing development in southeast and particularly rural areas. And as you said, it all kind of follows the Wellcome Trust bid to acquire Urban and Civic, which that was announced on Friday. So strategic land seems to be kind of where it's all sort of kicking off. And that's quite an exciting and unexpected turn. And I was thinking about this, why would this be happening now? And there has been a lot of excitement of kind of the housing market, but the future of the housing market and what could happen even next year, question marks around that. But there is still, you know, there is clearly a demand for land in those rural areas. So I was wondering and thinking whether or not, you know, within the planning reform, we have seen an emphasis on there'll be for the housing delivery targets less emphasis on city centre development and more on rural. So that sort of all kind of fits together. So I wonder if we might start to see more happening in strategic land.
I wonder. I hope so, because I think there are really interesting stories to come out of it, isn't it? And perhaps a new set of people for us to talk to, or maybe some of the veterans of the industry sort of coming back in.
Yeah, because I don't know if I wouldn't have expected Tony Gallagher to be going back on. And you know, at the moment it's three sites. And so, you know, we're not sure, you know, what could happen next. Typically in the past, they would promote those for house builders. And that seems to be the way that they're going at the moment. One of those sites is going to Bellway. But yeah, it is super interesting because he was doing some city centre with court collaboration in Birmingham. It's kind of some big schemes that are going for PRS, but he's mixing it up now with some strat land.
Mixing it up, love it. So what else has piqued your interest this week? Is there any other quirky stories or fun stories that you've written or colleagues have written that you've thought, hang on, this is a good one, this might get people talking?
Oh, this is a test now, isn't it, whether or not I'm going to plug my own stories or everybody else's. Well, I mean, sorry to be predictable, I'm going to plug my own stories. I think it is definitely the interview with Nigel Hugel that Tim did last Friday is super interesting. So I would definitely, you know, clearly I've got a bias with the resi side, but I would definitely recommend reading that. But we did have a fun one as well yesterday with TFL, and maybe fun and TFL aren't two things that many people are saying at the moment. But I bring it up because someone emailed me about it this morning, asking about it. So it seems to have resonated with readers as well. So this one is that Transport for London's exploring ideas to redevelop 79 car parks around its stations. And TfL, we know in the past, have done a lot of housing development on some of those bigger car parks, doing 100% affordable housing with A2 Dominion and Catalyst. But this one seemed to be a bit more, they're asking for creative, commercially viable concepts. And And I think this is, I'm not sure what they're going to get out of this, but they talked about that they've previously, that, you know, they've explored ideas around logistics, but community hubs, urban farms. So I'm not sure if it's to, you know, obviously TfL's got huge funding issues at the moment, and trying to kind of pull in money wherever they can. But this also seems like this is potentially more of a fun one as well, in, you know, what could you do with those car park spaces? They want people to be creative. So we want to know those creative ideas too. That sounds great.
Yeah. If people aren't going to submit to TfL but have an idea, then please let us know what they are. And I think it's perhaps as well, isn't it, part of this shift that will come at some point where we stop using the car so much, and you know, perhaps we will see more of those car parks turn. I'd love it if they were urban farming or vertical farming or bike parks or you know, sort of those community hubs. I think would be really great. And if
that's
we are,
an idea, isn't it?
It would be fun, wouldn't it? Maybe you and I should submit an idea, Emma.
Where's your nearest car park, Sam? I'm not sure, actually.
Well, there is a car park by the station by you, actually.
Is there? Yeah. Okay. What, near sort of Penge area?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
we'll draw up some plans.
Was it last time we decided that we were gonna buy the Big Brother, not Big Brother, Big Breakfast House?
Yeah.
Now we're going to start a business in a TfL car park.
Right. I feel like we are the next generation of property developers, Emma.
Do you know, we've got a deadline actually to work against. I think TfL need their bids in by December 4th, so we need to get working on that.
We better stop chatting here and get our pens out and start designing a community hub for Penge Station.
Yeah. Something that maybe involves, I don't know, I want to say DIY, and that's really boring, so I'm going to get rid of that, actually. No, let's just do the farming. Let's just do growing veg and selling stuff like that.
Growing veg and selling spanners.
That's what everyone needs in lockdown, isn't it?
That
really
is what everyone needs in lockdown. Yeah. Not just you, Emma.
Not just me. No, my planning monologues.
No, it's great. Really interesting stuff. There is, of course, loads more in EG, the mag this week. Tons more online, obviously, as we have so much more room there. And yes, and we will be back next week when we will still be here. And next week, actually, a little bit of a teaser for you. We'll have Lucy Alderson with us next week to talk about our upcoming mental health issue. It's a big issue right now, and particularly as we're in lockdown 2.0, really, really important issue, and we'll be talking more about that next week. But for now, unless Emma, you want to do a McClary and say, oh, one more thing.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I've heard you guys doing this, and actually I think I might, you know. I forgot to say, if I was to plug any other article that I haven't written, because I'm now looking, you know, really, my ego is crazy at the moment. Philip Hammond, we haven't even spoken about him.
Yeah, that geezer, we did. There is, of course, a very excellent interview with Philip Hammond, who I don't know if I should say it, but was actually a real pleasure to talk to. And, you know, he is a super smart man, isn't he? And quite sensible, which I think we lack a little bit in politics these days. So he has some really great and honest thoughts on the economy and the situation that we're in. So people can read that, they can listen to it, or they can watch it. So the trifactor of treats.
There we go, the digital world.
The digital world. Right, well, let's leave people to listen. They've probably had enough of us by now, and they've got lots to read. Yes. But Emma, thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to us. And we'll see you next week when we will indeed still be here. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the EG Property Podcast. We hope you found the content insightful and helpful. If you'd like more of the same and to keep up with all the latest news, views, analysis and research that the EG Group has to provide, Be sure to sign up to all of our property podcasts and subscribe to Radius Data Exchange for unlimited access to all of our content and comprehensive commercial real estate data.